in the MP3 group, and he started coming and as a pastor, and so I got to know him, and it was a real pleasure. And thanks, Karen. And so it's just been a real blessing to get to know Kevin. And I was in a season where we were ending a sermon series through one of the New Testament books in the Bible, and I felt like God was wanting us to go take a big picture of the Bible, because I love going deep and going deep for a long time in God's books. But I felt it was a season God was wanting to do something. And the evidence of these testimonies is God's really smart. He knows what we need. We just got to listen. And while I was talking to Kevin about it, he goes, well, I went through this thing called the story. And you go from Genesis to Revelation. And it's like, oh, that's awesome. So we can all give Kevin the credit for that and helping us discover. Yeah. And so that's what it looks like when we work together. We're connected as we are a blessing to each other. And then Kevin entered a season where God brought him back into the marketplace to work. And it was a challenging season, but, you know, I wanted my brother to...
It is a challenging season.
But we got to know their family. And, you know, the thing is, God gives us gifts, and sometimes he gives us titles, but the gifts he never takes back or they don't go away. And so he has a gift to teach and preach. And so I don't care if he doesn't have the title pastor for that season he was in, and I wanted him to use it here for us. And it's been a blessing, right, for us. And so anyway, enough said. Is just, it's been great. And so be praying for Kevin and Brenda. Raise your hand. And their kids are here too. And because now it's the new season God's taken them in, and he's looking for doors. Be praying for the right doors to open, the wrong doors to close, and as he's now seeking a new pastoral position, and it's being videotaped because that's kind of the way our world's resumes work now, and you'll be able to watch that on YouTube if you like. And so let me pray for Kevin, and then we'll turn it over to him.
Thanks.
So, Father in heaven, we thank you for our brother in Christ, and thank you, Lord, that New Crossing could be an encouragement to them and a blessing to them, but he needs to know that their family has blessed us by just telling us about a way in which we could learn the whole Bible in one season, one year, and thank you for all the testimonies. Thank you for the way the word of who you are has gone out, and people outside of our church have been loved, and they've heard of Jesus, and thank you for what it's awakened up in our hearts to be your light and salt in a world that is in desperate need of you, Jesus, and we pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much. My family and kids and all of us are always encouraged and thankful to be able to join you guys and have fun. So, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to 2 Timothy together. I think in the story it's called The Last Days. And so we're going to take a look at 2 Timothy today and think together where we find strength, especially during difficult times. Where do you find strength during difficult times? One of my pastoral heroes is a man named John Stott, and he was the pastor of a church in London, England called All Souls Church. In England, they don't call you a pastor, they call you a vicar. So he was the vicar of All Souls Church. And he would give a sermon on Sunday morning, and at the end of his sermon and at the end of the church service, this is what he would say. He'd say, now that the service is over, if you would like to receive Jesus Christ, I invite you to come forward. But as you come forward, there'll be a flow of people that are filing out of the building and heading toward the back. But you might as well get used to it in following Christ, this idea of going against the flow. Because if you believe in Jesus, you will go against the flow for the rest of your life. And I thought, what a great truth that he's speaking. That as you come forward and believe in Jesus Christ, your life will be changed. But as you come forward, you'll be going against the flow of people that are filing out, yet you might as well get used to this idea of going against the flow, because it will be the case for the rest of your life. And it's true, isn't it? We think, you know, when I bring my marriage under the lordship of Jesus, my marriage grows better and healthier. And when I bring my finances under the lordship of Jesus, my finances get healthier. And it's true in so many areas of life. Yet when we choose to choose Jesus as our Lord and Savior, there's also areas in where we're going to go against the flow, and there'll be difficulties and struggles and conflicts. And the word that Paul uses in this book of 2 Timothy is the word suffering, which is this idea of living for Christ in the face of opposition. This idea of suffering is a theme in 2 Timothy, and Jesus reminds us that he was not sent to the cross by saying, "Behold, the lilies of the field, how they labor and spin," but instead in saying that I am the way and the truth and the life. And so as Paul writes Timothy, talking about the last days, he says, "Join me in suffering for the gospel," in verse 8. In verse 12, he says, "This is why I am suffering for the gospel." And in chapter 2, verse 8, he says, "I am suffering like a criminal in chains." And in chapter 3, verse 10, Paul says, "You know all about my teachings and my way of life and my sufferings." Paul was beaten with rods, and even as he wrote this letter, he's chained in a Roman prison. And so he gives us this picture of what life is like in the last days. And if you take a look in chapter 3, Paul gives an idea of some of the things that we'll find in these last days. People will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, holy, unholy, without love, unforgiving, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. He says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. What Paul was talking about here is not a critique of the culture. He was not saying, this is what the culture looks like. Instead, he's talking about the apostate church. Those that are seemingly false members of the church and yet not the true church. And he's talking about those that will abandon the church or that are members of the false church. And he gives us a key to this in verse 4. He says they will be lovers of pleasure, not lovers of God. They will be having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And so this is a picture of the false church. Pastor friend gave this illustration, which I believe to be true. I couldn't find the genesis of it, but he tells this illustration in a communist country of a house church that was meeting in secret. And on one occasion during the church service, two men arrive at the house church meeting with machine guns. And they said to everyone present, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and will die for your faith, raise your hand. And so a number of people there in the church meeting raised their hand. And that those that didn't, the two gunmen said, now you have who have not raised your hand, leave. And they did. They left. And then after they had left, the two gunmen put their machine guns down and said, now let's have church. We found out who is genuine and who isn't. We found that this is the best way to remove spies and informers. And so it's a picture of the true church, those that understand Jesus and those that are living for Christ and understand that he is their greatest allegiance. So as Paul girds up Timothy for this idea of going against the flow and living for Christ, even in the face of opposition and suffering, he gives three places to find strength for the journey of keeping on mission for Jesus. Strength from friends, strength from the Holy Spirit, and then strength from Christ. So that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. First, let's talk about strength from friends. Paul writes Timothy, he says, I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, night and day, remembering you in my prayers. In this passage, over and over, Paul says to Timothy, I remember you. I remember you in my prayers, verse 3. Paul says, I remember your tears in verse 4. Paul says later, I remember your faith that was handed down from your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Paul gave strength to Timothy out of a deep and abiding love that he had for him. He says, I recall your tears, Timothy, as I left you and you wept as we parted as friends. Do you realize that Paul's love for people was so compelling and deep and tender that when people left Paul, they wept? In the book of Ephesus, when Paul was on the shores of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, and Paul says, I'm leaving you now and likely never to see you again. The people that he was with wept, just as Timothy wept as Paul left. You know, several weeks ago, the church that I'm part of sent a friend off to San Francisco for good as she was going there to take a new job. And as I looked over at the pastor's wife was weeping as they sent this young woman off. And I'm reminded, man, they were really doing church together. They were on mission together with each other, involved in each other's lives, loving and serving, encouraging, receiving strength and being strengthened from each other's friendship. Paul reminds us that receiving strength from each other in fellowship is one of the great places of strength as we seek to stay on mission for Jesus. Paul says, don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed with me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel. We're in this together, Paul says. And this strength from each other is an enormous source of strength within the church and among God's people. John McCain, the senator who for several 5.5 years was a prisoner at the Hanoi Hilton in Vietnam, 2 years in solitary confinement, talks about this tap code that he used while in solitary prison, communicating with other prisoners, receiving strength and giving strength. So we are reminded that we lend strength and give strength to each other in the Lord Jesus as we receive and give courage to each other. Last Monday, when I was at a lunch with a couple other pastors, one of the pastors was from Salt Lake City, Utah. And he talked about the state of Utah only has 2% of the state who are evangelicals. And so the other pastor was there, like brainstorming, how can we help you? How can we give you strength? How can we give you resources in helping to gird you up for the work of the gospel there in Salt Lake City and in Utah? This idea of helping each other is so important that Paul talks about in verses 15 and 16. He says, these people have deserted me in Christ, and these people in verse 16 have helped me. The household of Onesiphorus and others who have refreshed me and weren't ashamed of my chains. So as we think of helping each other, who is it that you can lend strength to, keeping them on mission, encouraging them in the Lord Jesus? It's not about resources. As Paul is writing this letter, Paul is chained to a wall in a Roman prison cell. Paul has no money. He has no freedom, very little power from a worldly standpoint. And yet Paul is lending strength, encouragement, blessing to his friend Timothy. He says, Timothy, fan into flames the gift of God that's in you, providing him encouragement and strength to keep on mission for Jesus Christ. Friends give each other strength and courage to keep pressing on in Jesus. And so that's the first thing that Paul gives. And as we think about opposition, as we think about suffering, receive strength from each other and from what we have together in Christ. And here's the second thing that Paul encourages us to be strong in as we seek to keep on mission in the days of opposition, and that's the Holy Spirit. In verse 6, Paul tells Timothy, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Here's one translation, the way the more recent NIV renders it. Let's take a look at that. It says, for the spirit God gave us, let's see, do we find that yet? 2 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 7. It renders like this. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. You know, in the commentary that I was looking at, I was thinking, you know, how do we know that this is the Holy Spirit? Some translations render it differently, and I think there's good support to know that Paul was telling Timothy to be empowered by the Holy Spirit in keeping on mission. And here's a couple reasons why I think that's a good rendering. Paul is saying, you know, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. And so the Holy Spirit is a person who is in us. And this idea is repeated here in chapter 1, verse 14, where Paul is telling Timothy, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who is in you. So Holy Spirit is a power within us that girds us for the work of the gospel. The second idea is this idea that the power of the Holy Spirit is bookended here in verse 7, where the Spirit of power is in us, and then also in verse 14, guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. And even in the book of Acts, we see this idea of the laying on of hands of folks is a way of confirming the presence of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. And the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts is given to us to bear witness, which we see right in the next verse there in verse 8, where it says, don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord. So we're reminded that we receive courage and strength and blessing for the mission of God and against opposition and strength for witness as we fan into flame the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Fanning it into flame, we receive power and strength for witness. You know, about a month ago, a friend invited me to a gathering of folks to kind of network in helping to find jobs and meet new people. And so my friend told me, you know, be there. It opens at 11, and the meeting will start at 12, so, you know, get there early. And so when I got there at 11, I was expecting my friend to meet me there. And he wasn't there, and I didn't know a single person. I didn't know who to introduce myself to. I didn't know how to introduce myself. So you ever find yourself somewhere, you just kind of feel awkward. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. You don't know anyone. You feel really alone. So I just kind of went back out in the parking lot, and, you know, I was just kind of reading and kind of meditating and praying a little bit. And as I was praying there, God brought this verse to mind. God doesn't give us a spirit that's timid, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And I thought, it was like God was saying, get out of your car and get back in there and go meet some people and network and introduce yourself. And so I did. And so I went in there and kind of looked for some folks and introduced myself. Didn't know quite how to introduce myself, but just as a reminder that we're never alone with the Spirit in our life and that he gives us strength and power and he gives us power for love. The Spirit in us gives us a spirit of power, but also love. That is the dynamic of what the Spirit's power looks like in our lives. This past week, I was listening on the radio, and this man was talking about how he moved to the United States when he was a child, and he was from Iran. And as an Iranian living in the United States, it was very, very uncomfortable for him because during the season that he was here as a young child, we were going through the Iranian hostage crisis. So there was a lot of distrust between the United States and Iran, and there was this conflict going on. And yet he didn't really know English, so he was assigned through a school an English tutor that was helping him learn English. And this woman was a Christian, and she was patient with him and loving and encouraging. And through the course of this relationship of this woman teaching this young boy English, she eventually gave him a New Testament. And even though he was Muslim and he was raised in a Muslim country, He kept this New Testament, and then later on, he picked it up and read it. And he said, there is only one reason I would ever accept this gift from this woman who was a different religion from me and who was from a different born in a different country than me is because she loved me. She loved me so much. It was so evident. Even in the midst of this conflict, she loved me. She was tender with me. She cared for me. He says, even in the midst of all the conflict that was going on, I later picked up this Bible, I read it, and then later came to Christ. And now he's serving as a pastor in a church in Texas. So it's just a reminder that we have the Spirit's power in us to bear witness. Like it says in Acts, we will receive power, the Holy Spirit comes on us to be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. But just as important, it's the Spirit that is born of love, that's born of caring for others, that as we share in Jesus' name, that our hearts are full of love and care and concern for each other. As it says there in verse 7, the Spirit that God gives us isn't a spirit that makes us timid or lacking courage or fearful, but it's a spirit that gives us power and love and self-discipline. Paul's telling Timothy, as you face opposition, as you face conflict, as you endure suffering, fan into flame the power that's in you. It's a spirit that gives power. Find strength in the Holy Spirit's power. Find strength in love and sound mind, sound discipline. Self-discipline is this idea. That is the truth that Paul is fanning into flame into Timothy. Receive strength from me as your friend, as one who loves you, who we've cried together. Find strength in the Holy Spirit as well. Find strength in the Holy Spirit. You know, as we go through and experience suffering, we are reminded of the many things that cause us to pull back in our faith in Christ. Let me just go through some of the things that suffering causes. Suffering causes us to blame others for our problems. Suffering causes us to dwell in self-pity and self-focus. Suffering can cause us to experience a sense of powerlessness, that we're in a situation that's hopeless and that we feel helpless. Suffering causes us to have hurt feelings that paralyze us. Suffering makes us tired. Suffering causes us to have a wrong view of God and his character, that God is detached from us and uncaring, that God isn't good and that he's uninvolved in our lives, and it gives us a distorted view of God's character. And yet Paul will have nothing of it. He says, Timothy, I love you, and receive strength from our friendship. Receive strength from the Holy Spirit as well. And then lastly, he says, receive strength from the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive strength from the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, verse 13, Paul says, what you heard from me, Timothy, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Jesus Christ. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. So Paul is telling Timothy, hold on to Jesus, faith in Jesus, love in Jesus. He will not let you down. He will be faithful to you, and you can receive strength from him. You know, many of you know I have twins, Daniel and Emma, who are 6.5 years old. And my son Daniel, when I wake up in the morning, sometimes I'm wiping sleep out of my eyes. I go into his room. I open crack open the door to check on him. And he is down on the floor early in the morning when it's still dark playing with Legos. When it comes nighttime and we're brushing our teeth and I'm trying to get him to brush his teeth and I go into his room and I crack open the door, he's on the floor playing with Legos. When my wife asks him to write a story about what's going on in his life and he writes a story in his journal, it's a story about playing with Legos. When he wants a present, he wants to go to Shopko and he wants to buy Legos. When he goes to his friends, you getting the point? Daniel is obsessed with Legos. It fills his mind. It fills his imagination. He goes to the library and checks out books on Legos. Legos is the focus of his imagination. Such was the case of Paul with the Lord Jesus. Jesus filled his imagination, and he was a resource and a person who had never let him down. As he tells Timothy, you know, you've heard this pattern of sound teaching, faith in Jesus Christ, love in Jesus Christ, guard it, he says, Timothy, guard this faith and love in Jesus. And then he says this great verse in chapter 2, verse 1, and that this is sort of like, you ever have like a verse that just kind of lights you up and you just think about it like all week? This is what 2 Timothy 2:1 is for me. Let's see if we can pull it up on the screen. It says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Another translation, I think in the ESV, says, be strengthened in the grace of Jesus Christ. There it is. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. One of Paul's favorite phrases throughout his books is in Christ. We are in Christ. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our identity. Christ is our life. We are in Christ. It's who we are. We are in Christ. And he says, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So what is the question for me is, what is this idea of grace? What does it mean to be strengthened by the grace in Christ Jesus? Here's what one author says. Grace is shorthand for the full and free access we have to all the merits of Christ, the power of Christ, and the promises that are found in the person of Jesus Christ. If you have Christ, you have all of Christ. And to have all of Christ is to have free access to all of Christ's all-sufficient grace. Don't you love that? When Paul says, be strengthened by the grace of Jesus Christ, we often think of grace as this free gift, and it is free, but we think of the idea that it's free. But in this verse, Paul doesn't talk about as much the idea that it's free, but instead the size of the gift, the dimensions of the gift, the beauty and the different aspects of the gift that are given us to strengthen us in the face of difficulty and persecution. You know, if I were to intercept your mail at your mailbox and say, hey, I intercepted your mail, and this month I'm paying your cell phone bill for you. You go, that's nice, that's grace. But let's say I intercept your mail and say, hey, I paid off the mortgage of your house and your farm this week for you. You would go, wow, that's awesome. Because of why? The size of the gift. The greatness of the gift. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Find strength from the grace of the Lord Jesus. So what is grace? It's many dimensions. Let me just talk about a couple of them. When Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, Paul is saying the power of Jesus Christ is sufficient for you. It's the power of his grace. So he's talking about and focusing on the power of Jesus in our life. That's what his grace is. If I say Ephesians chapter 2, you are saved by grace, I'm saying that you're saved by the merits of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ, the blood of Christ, the redemption of Jesus Christ. And so I'm focusing not on the power, but instead on the merits of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, Paul says, grow in this grace of giving. Paul is talking about a dynamic that is in your life that causes you to obey and give money graciously and generously as God would have you. That's a grace, growing this grace of giving. So when Paul says, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, it's like a diamond with many aspects. It's a power. It's the blessings of the merits of Christ. It's the blessings of the dynamic of his movement in our lives. All of these are blessings of his grace that are ours who are in Christ. In Christ. Paul even testifies to this grace that was true in his own life in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 16. Paul says, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But here's what he says. But the Lord stood at my side, and he gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So in Christ, if you have Christ, you have all of Christ. And as the Puritans would say, if you have Christ, you have an interest in all of my attributes for your good. My grace shall be yours to protect you. My wisdom shall be yours to direct you. My guidance shall be yours to guide me, and my goodness shall be yours to relieve you. My mercy shall be yours to supply you, and my glory shall be yours to crown you. So in the days ahead, as we face opposition, as we face struggles, find strength from each other in the church, strength of encouragement, strength of focusing on Christ. As we face opposition in the future, find strength in the Holy Spirit, being reminded of his divine presence in your life, the spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline that comes from the indwelling spirit. And then lastly, as we face times of opposition, times of difficulty, as Paul says, be strong, my son, in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the days ahead, might God find us faithful to receive strength from each other and from his Spirit and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you give us strength for the journey of obedience and of living for Christ, even in the midst of times of difficulty or of opposition or times of suffering. Thank you that your church is a resource for us to find strength from each other, that you've given us your indwelling presence to receive strength from the Holy Spirit. And then lastly, we thank you for the grace that's ours in the Lord Jesus Christ, strengthened by his power and the merits of Christ and the promises of Christ. Might we know that we are never alone. In Jesus' name, amen.